This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WANM FM 90.5 from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I am your host, Jeffrey Hood Jr., the one and only repping the DMV in Atlanta area. We're back from spring break, back being consistent, but to help me with these amazing topics we got on tap today, I have some amazing guys in the studio with me.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, Mr. 813, the OG of the show, Amar Kibi. I'm glad to be back.
What's going on, y'all? It's the youngest in charge, straight out of 615 Cashville, Nashville, Tennessee. It's Austin Casing.
What's happening? It's your boy Hafiz, aka Country, from the great city Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the 225 and stuff. I'm blessed to be back in here.
How was y'all spring break?
It was good.
It was good. Bro, it was great. You remember what I said over spring break, bro, about the receiver from South Carolina? Oh.
y'all are twins, bro.
Yo. But to answer your question, bro, it was good, bro. I was back in the city. I was able to see my mom and everything like that. It was her first week back at work, actually. She had surgery in January. She finished up her rehab. So it was good, bro, to spend some time and just be out in the city.
That's what's up. I went home, too. Watched a lot of basketball. Got a nice break from everything. Yeah. Feel great to be back.
Yeah, I would
do that. New cut, too.
Yeah.
He feeling different, man. I was just home, man. You know, just had to get a little bit of rest. You know, Ramadan just started, so fasting and just being good.
Yes, sir. What about you, young Jeff?
Vegas was smooth. Vegas was a great time. Great basketball, too, but it was a great time, though.
How was that experience seeing those guys play in person?
And then the last Pac-12 tournament at that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Facts.
Oh, it was fire. Like, I think it was very cool. I found out now that Washington State, like, that rivalry is deep. Like, it's not just no basic. It's not just football. It's basketball.
It's real.
Oh, no, it's real. I experienced something I can't say on the air, but it's real, though. So,
you know, I find that a little interesting because it's some rivalries that don't really mean that much as they do in football.
Yeah.
But it's like when it comes to basketball, it changed. Like for instance, UNC versus Duke. Mm-hmm. In football, it really doesn't mean nothing. It's just they quote unquote call it a rivalry game. That's just what they call it. But when you see like some of the SEC schools, when they play against each other, like when we play against Ole Miss, it's just a game. But when it comes to football, it's more than just a game.
Facts.
So like even like Auburn versus Alabama, it's not even as talked about as it should be. But Washington and Washington State, I've always known that to be like a heavy. So same thing. I think it's more so the Pac-12 in general. Like the same rivalries they got in football,
like,
they got
beef.
In basketball.
Pac-12 people, it's beef. Like,
yeah.
I will say Arizona fans showed out. There was not really too many of USC fans or UCLA fans, which I was really like skeptical about. Granted, they have a great season, but I was just like, that's odd.
I feel like they both have a notion of not having the biggest fan bases, though. Like, I feel like there's always been a notion that, like, the people in LA don't really actually watch UCLA or USC games. They're just there being themselves instead of, you know.
I kind of disagree with that. I disagree with the UCLA part, but USC, I definitely agree. USC's never had, like, a good fan turnout, but you got to think about it. UCLA is a basketball powerhouse. They wanted the blue bloods.
And that's why I thought that UCLA would be, like, very heavily in attendance, but every 5 seconds, AZ fan. I mean, they ain't make it, but like, they was there.
Hey, that's what it's all about, though.
But let's hop right into it, man. Florida A&M women's basketball team made to SWAC tournament after being doubted of not even making it or being at the bottom of their conference, but they made it. And unfortunately, they lost to Grambling State with a score of 66-60. I just want you guys' overall thoughts on the season.
So to be honest with you, it might not look like what it is, but it was actually a great season for those girls.
It was a
successful season. It was the first time they ever made the SWAC tournament. On top of that, it was Coach Bridges' first year. She came here basically the same time we all came here. No off season. She barely knew her players. It was like they was having all season practice while the season was going on.
Fact.
And for the girls to really like turn around and just be able to be that dominant their first year, it's like, and then when you look at the games, it's like they could have actually won way more games than they lost. Like the Grambling State twice, like the two times they lost to Grambling State, they should have won. Like, I'm not talking about when they went to Grambling, I'm talking about when they was here and they lost in overtime, triple overtime.
Yeah.
And beat Bethune-Cookman, they shouldn't have lost that game. Southern, the second time, it was a little shaky, but they beat Southern, who's actually was one of the top three teams in the SWAC for girls. And it was like they
State
Jackson
was
State too.
Game at home, it was.
It just got away from them in the fourth quarter. So it's just like when you look at the overall season, you looked at it was like like a lot of empty, it was like a lot of empty calories left on the table. So I believe next year Coach Bridges is actually going to have a more dominant team, even though they're losing Ariana, which is going to be a huge loss, but she's bringing in a lot of girls, as she's told us, and she's shown that she know how to get her team on her back.
I would also say, like, this team is pretty decent. Like, when you think about all the pieces around them, like, they might not have, like, all their players. Like, Coach might not have all her players, but, you know, you could tell they have some type of fluidity to their offense. Like, they're not just out there kind of just playing whoever offense, like, the men's team usually would, or whatever you may have it. And so, like, when I look at this game, when they played Grambling State, you know, the big thing that I feel like this team needs to work on moving forward is just kind of, like, the little things. Like, focus on, like, those little things, because then it'll translate to more wins. So,
also,
like,
situational basketball, know what facts. To do when situations.
And so, like, I say that because I'm looking at the stats, and the biggest thing that I noticed in this game, and again, it was only a 6-point game, but the biggest thing is the turnovers. Like, we had 21 turnovers in this game. Mm-hmm. They had 13 steals.
Yeah, that hurts.
So, you know, honing in on just the little things, not turning the ball over as much, because if you didn't turn the ball over as much, that constitute the more points. Right. More points equals a different outcome in the game. So just that much more closer to being even more successful than the team already was.
Yeah, I just got two things. I think the first thing is kind of like they both said, just finishing the games. Like, we came in here so many times and came on the live show, and we always just talked about, oh, they should have won this game, or we put ourselves in the position to win this game, and then we just blew it at the end. So I think that's going to, having a full offseason is going to help with that. But, you know, finishing games takes us from the 7th seed in the SWAC to probably the 3rd or 4th seed, maybe even higher in the SWAC. Like, me and Jeff and Ahmad were at Media Day at the beginning of the season, and I just remember something that stuck out to me was Coach Gordon saying that she's looking to bring in girls and to get girls in the gym who want to be here and want to play hard.
Facts.
And want to, like, play her brand of basketball, which is one that's going to make winning plays and dive on loose balls and, like Ahmad said, probably stop turning the ball over as much. And so once she's able to get who she wants to be in here, I think that we're going to be looking dangerous as a team, because a coach that can win without her pieces is dangerous. So once she gets her pieces, yeah, FAMU women's basketball, what's up?
We might make an NCAA appearance.
I think right. So.
There's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
I was in basketball class this morning, and there's like the rafters up there, and like, yeah. I think the last time we made it was like 1997, like maybe early 2000s.
And then on top of that, she got some hitters coming in next year. Like, she got some true hitters, and you know, the transfer portal was very much
wide open. And now we know, hey, there's some girls in them Power 5 schools who are sitting at the end of the bench not getting no burn. They can really hoop.
They can come here.
They can come here and really hoop.
Because I'm not gonna lie, me and Jeff, we always joke with Coach Gordon every time, and she, like, before we get into like talk about as far as like the game, like how the game went, she always tell us, like, before y'all say anything, do not talk about our turnovers. And that's what she always hit on, because she already knows it. Like, that's the issue that she's had all season with her team. It's like turnovers at key moments of the game. So, like, she, like, don't beat Olivia up too much, because, you know, Olivia love to turn the ball over in under 2 minutes. Like, that's turnover queen. But it's all good people. Wow. Though at the end of the day, I'm trying to tell you, I think next year might be a good year for us.
A lot of teams will look at FAMU and be like, oh, this is a dub. Like, we don't have to play serious. But now it's like, oh, we got to step it up. And this was our first year. So imagine next year and the years to come. I think this team could either be 500 next year or even above 500 next year as far as record goes.
Mm-hmm. And they were 7-5 at home.
So. I couldn't agree more.
And then you also got to think about Jackson State was a prime example. Jackson State came in here with the idea it was going to be an easy win. And they looked at it in the fourth quarter, they're only up by 2. And they had to start, like, picking stuff up.
Absolutely. And the more you win at home, the easier it is to play at home, because, you know, then you get people out at the games and you get that real home court atmosphere. So yeah, I think that these next couple years are very bright for FAMU women's basketball.
With that being said, we're now going to hop into some March Madness. It is March, fellas. Brackets have been released.
Woo!
But before we get into brackets, let's just talk about the conference games. The conference games being taking place, you had the SEC Championship, you had Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, Pac-12. Just what were you guys' thoughts on all the conference championship games, or even just the games leading up to the championship?
I'll speak to the ACC Championship game. I was very surprised.
Oh, yeah.
NC State played
very,
like, not only did they hoop, they were physical with UNC. And again, I will always be an advocate for UNC because like I've watched them towards the back end of the season, and I never really noticed how good of a three-point shooting team that they are. They can shoot the three ball real well, but what I will say, NC State did a great job of kind of like game planning towards that and then being more physical with them. So I think Country has said it before we even hopped on. We was talking about UNC and like kind of like their ceiling and how far they would go, and Country was saying like, hey, if you could get some hands on UNC early and you could stop them from shooting as good from the three-point line, like, you know what I'm saying, like that could be the difference maker in that team making it past the Sweet 16 or making it to the Final Four perhaps. And so like I was very impressed. Like NC State is definitely going to make some noise in this tournament. They're definitely here. Like they are a team that can hoop, and I'm just excited to see. Like that was probably my favorite matchup of all the conference championship games this past weekend.
I was more so disappointed in Duke, like, because
you were disappointed, bro. I was like, we play NC State again, we barely snuck out of that game. I wasn't gonna be surprised if we lost. Like, no, I was not
because it's this trend that is actually factual. Any team that is a tournament at-large bid team that loses the first round of a conference playoff game does not even make it past the Sweet 16. And it's shown to be true, because every time Duke has lost, they always lost in the first round of every series. And I actually thought this was going to be a good year for Duke.
Talking about ACC?
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, I like, was going to say, last year, we
y'all didn't lose y'all first game.
We did some ACC, buddy, last year, so.
Nah, but no, like Amar was saying, yes, I was very surprised with NC State. I thought them being Duke was just an upset. I did not think that they was actually this good. That's a good basketball team. So then sometimes you got to ask yourself, like, what happened during the season? Because they wasn't even for NC State. They finished 10th in the conference.
I just think teams kind of catch fire at the right times sometimes. And I think that throughout the tournament, they started to find their identity as a team. And then they just started to just catch fire. And it showed in the championship game. Like, they kept that cushion too. Like, it was points and times where UNC was coming back, crawling back in. But like, they just couldn't stop they couldn't stop NC State offensively. Their defense just was not there. And I think that's actually one of the shortcomings of this UNC team. Like, if they're not gonna make it past the Sweet 16, it'll be because of their defense. Like, I'm not worried about them from an offensive standpoint, because we know what they can do on the offensive side of the ball.
There's no stopping that big boy in the middle.
Exactly.
Nah, it's so no like, stopping.
But what I would say is, though, this actually reminds me of I think it's the 2011 UConn Huskies national championship team. They was regarded as an NIT team. Like, nobody had them even making it past anything, and they won their conference, which pushed them in the NCAA tournament, and they end up winning the whole entire thing. Like you said, teams catch fire at the right time. If NC State does continue with this fire, I don't see them losing. They might actually be our 2024 national champion.
I think
it's fast. But what I'm saying is, like, again, if a team catches fire at the right time,
yeah,
they're usually unstoppable.
I can see Sweet 16.
I mean, they play Texas Tech first round. After that, they'll be playing Kentucky most likely if they beat Texas Tech.
Kentucky has no defense.
And to that point, like,
just look at how it's shaping up for them, though.
You know, they will probably face either Florida or Marquette. I don't know.
And Florida struggles shooting.
But
NC State has a huge man. They don't have a big man. They have a huge man.
I call him Young Duty, the next Young Duty Hooper.
That boy was 6'10", 305.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he can move. He got sweet feet.
Over here seeing him do sky hooks.
Hey, I was watching a Duke game. I'm like, who is he? Like,
why have we never heard of him? Yeah, like what?
What about you, Austin? Your thoughts on, what was you was at the SEC, so just talk about that.
Yeah, I had another team that plays very physical, like NC State. Auburn, man, they just took it.
Hey, bro, what? Jeff, bro, it's so funny you said that, because we was in my office earlier. And I told Jeff, the analyst literally was like, this Auburn team just knows how to go out and get it.
Can we give you some credit, though? Like, before the conference season started, what did I say about Auburn?
You did say.
What did I say about Auburn?
I do remember that. You did say Auburn would definitely be a team to be a force to reckon with, bro.
Because Bruce Pearl always emphasizes defense, and all his teams. If you look at it, even when Jabari was on Auburn's
Jabari
team,
and Walker Kessler,
like they was defensive minded. Like you wouldn't even think Jabari was a scorer at the time. It was all of that. That's how Bruce Pearl plays. That's why I was like, you can never count Bruce Pearl out.
Go ahead, also.
Yeah, I just pretty much what he just said. It's like the teams that they defend, they're pretty much all their plays were just designed to get straight to the middle of the rim, layups and offensive rebounds. Obviously, they'll hit a three here and there, but they weren't trying to live and die by the three, and it worked because at the end of the day, you're going to have your days when you're not hitting all your threes. You're going to have a bad shooting day. That's what killed Tennessee, Dalton Connect, and pretty much the rest of the team just weren't hitting, so they lost their first game. So it's just a team like that where that type of play style is going to work all the time. Getting to the rim, getting to the paint, drawing fouls, playing good defense, that's never
going to. Do you feel like they're on upset alert, though?
Who?
Because they're playing the Ivy League champion, Yale.
I don't think they have the athletes.
And Yale can hoop.
I just don't think they have the athletes. They're going to get.
They don't have the athletes.
Yeah,
they don't have like that
the
dog.
Size,
you got
the,
KD.
Yeah,
you got Johnny Broome. Got that dog.
They got a big
Dylan
guy, number
Cardwell.
44. Yep, him.
He got that dog. He might not say much, but he flying out nowhere to block your shot.
10 had a great tournament. Yeah, they played great. But another team, hey, Illinois. Said it last episode.
Bro. Bro, to your point, I see them going to Sweet 16.
I have them winning it all. I have them winning it all.
I said Sweet 16.
Like I said.
That brother took it a couple more rounds.
I have them winning they're in my bracket winning the championship. They're the best player in the country, Terrence Shannon Jr., unstoppable in the Big Ten tournament. He had closed the tournament with a 40-point performance and then followed it up with a 34-point performance.
Did he have like 100? I saw his stats was like 102, I think it was points throughout that whole tournament.
Yeah, he scored, 25 in the opener. Like, unstoppable. Like I said before, LeBron, like, in transition, you're not stopping him and he'll still pull from like 28 feet. They play great defense when they want to. That's a team who they were down two games, down one game by 10 points and down 15 points in the second half against Nebraska in the semifinals, came back and won by 11. Like, that's a team where that's a dominant team. I think I got them going all the way. I was really impressed by what they did this tournament, but I saw it coming.
I'll talk about Pac-12 since I was there. Pac-12 was that's some great ball. If you stay up late at night and watch it, it's some really great ball. I like
this
to say
it's hard to watch.
It is hard because to stay up, but yeah. And plus they have a Pac-12 network. You really can't watch. You got to pay to watch it. But I say KJ Simpson, all them guys on call, like they go. Oregon, they came in not really the favorite, and they came out and walked out with the championship. And Jackson Selsted, he goes. Kwame Evans, he goes. Dante came back healthy now from surgery. He can go. Like this Oregon team, they play South Carolina, open out round of 64. They play South Carolina, and I have them beating South Carolina just because how hot they came in Pac-12 and how hot they left leaving Pac-12. They can go. Honestly, there's a lot of great teams in there that should have been in there as far as Pac-12, but I can see why they didn't put them all in there.
Yeah.
It was a great showing, though. Caleb Love can go. Kylan Boswell, he can go. All them guys in the Pac-12, it was a great sightseeing for me.
So what's your ceiling for Oregon then? Because I don't see them getting past the Sweet 16.
I don't either.
Okay.
But I was just saying, they're going to beat South Carolina.
Okay.
There should be no excuse why they shouldn't beat South Carolina.
Because South Carolina is actually a very great team.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy named Jackson Selsted. I don't think nobody can guard him. I don't think nobody can, like, that's just respectfully. I don't think nobody can guard him.
Fam, you did.
He didn't play against Virginia.
The Oregon team that played that's going to play in March Madness did not play in Al Lawson Center.
Yeah. No, for sure, because Dante wasn't there. Yeah. Kwame Evans wasn't playing to his potential he is right now.
These guys, this is a completely different Oregon team.
This is a whole different Oregon team, and they play fast, and they're going. Like, multiple actions other side of the split line, they're going.
If we be for real, it's the seeding is just so bad.
What, for Oregon?
No, just in the tournament.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. UConn. They're in the seeding.
Talk about the whole East.
Yeah, let's talk about the East region.
Yeah. Bro, the East is a gauntlet.
So we have the reigning champs in UConn. They go against the Big Ten winner,
Big 12 winner,
and
the SEC winner.
If you want to say Ivy League winner,
they're going against the MAC winner too in San Diego State.
Yeah, I'm gonna say in two teams that made the Final Four last year.
So the committee really did UConn a disservice.
They did everybody in that region a disservice.
Because everybody in this region,
they gave somebody justice.
Yeah, no.
And they're not even that good in my eyes.
Facts. Look,
who you talking about?
Who?
You know who I'm talking about.
Who?
Purdue?
Midwest. Oh. They're in the Midwest. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. They did him.
Purdue.
I feel as though like Auburn is not a 4 seed. I feel as though they're more of a 2 or 3.
Ooh, the Midwest is kind of weak.
It's weak.
It's terrible.
The Midwest is kind of weak.
It's weak. Here's the thing. This is what I didn't understand. How are you going to give Auburn a 4 seed, but you give Kentucky a 3?
Yeah.
I didn't get
that. Yeah,
that didn't make no sense. And they lost their first game.
Dude, that didn't make sense to me.
And it's just like, all right, so again, you put in Virginia, who's had a mediocre season all season, and then you take away a team like St. John's? Like, what are we talking about here? Indiana State, I feel as though they should have got in. They wasn't even in the... They was one of the first four. Were they first four or first four out?
I think it was first four out.
First four out, okay.
I want to say it was first four out. I just think if I'm UConn, like, why do they do this to us? Respectfully, like, I'm the number one overall seed. And you gave me the hardest region to get out of.
Hey, but if they can do it.
If they can do it, that shows a lot. And I feel like they can do it. I just feel like they don't want them to repeat.
I think that's what it is, too.
They have the team to go back and repeat again.
They really do. It's like, bro.
Because you have Newton. He can go. Stephon Castle, he can go. Clinging, blocking everything, protecting the rim.
It's just the hardest tournament to win, like, in all of sports.
But
you got to be perfect.
You have to.
It's no such thing as being perfect in this bracket. Like, when it comes to these brackets, I've never seen anybody even come close to being perfect.
I'm not talking about making a perfect bracket. I'm talking about winning the bracket. Winning the tournament.
You can't have a bad night. You home. And we all know the 4 versus the 13 matchup is always the upset alert.
I told you, which is why I said Auburn and Yale, bro.
I can't give Auburn an upset because that defense travels. One thing you got to have is defense, and it travels.
I understand, but you got to understand it's March Madness. It's the madness of the game. A lot of this stuff just don't make sense.
But Bruce Pearl, he can't afford to let that happen to him. Respectfully, he cannot let that happen to him.
So, all right. Let's talk about the 4 versus 13 matchup. You got Duke versus
Vermont. Let's talk about the whole thing. Let's go over through these.
Okay, all right.
You have number one, UConn versus Stetson. I think we could unanimously say UConn.
Did y'all see how Yale won their championship though? It was, bro.
They were down 6 with 25 seconds.
That was OC. That's March.
Listen. Has Yale seen a defense like Auburn?
No, probably not.
I've not seen a singular athlete like.
Has Yale seen a team like Auburn that crashed the glass so many times, just pounding you in the glass? Have they seen that?
No, you're probably right. They have not. But again, it's March.
And you can't practice. You cannot practice for it.
At the end of the day, I'm going to keep using your analogy, Ahmad. It's March. It's the madness of March.
Because if we look at the South region, we see your team number 4.
We're going through all the regions.
All right.
We're East.
All right.
8 FAU, 9 Northwestern. Who we got?
I got FAU. Again, this was a team in the Final 4. Like, this should be a no-brainer. Yeah. They should handle up and handle business.
San Diego State, number 5 versus 12 UAB.
San Diego State.
This is a toss-up.
I got UAB. This is my first upset.
It is hard. It's like one of those, like, choosing games. Like, dang, like, could they really, like, fold under pressure like this? But I just don't see them doing it. I think their experience in the tournament, SDSU, that is, I think that's what will come into play.
Ladista there?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me
that. They play UNLV. I was like, please.
Yeah.
I was like, how did they come back? They came back and took it over in overtime. So, yeah, I'm taking San Diego.
I'm taking UA.
I like Eric Gaines, though.
Why are you taking UAB?
That's going to be a fun game.
It's just one of those trap games. Anytime it's 5 versus 12, it's one of those trap games.
You want to see a baby jaw? Watch that game. You'll see. You want to see a baby jaw? That's Eric baby jaw right there.
Eric Gaines actually went to LSU at first.
Yeah, he did. No, I know. Number 4, Auburn versus 13. Yeah, who we got?
Auburn.
Respectfully, bro, I gotta go with the upset, bro.
I'm going with the upset too.
Because, bro, Yale wasn't even supposed to be in this bracket.
And I think they just hot right now.
And Auburn's gonna show why. Auburn is going to show why.
You cannot have practice players that play just like Auburn, let alone crash the glass. Like, you can't really find somebody.
I don't jump that high, let alone hit as hard.
I don't think that they're even trying to imitate what Auburn does. I don't think they're not. You don't have the capability of the players to do that. So why would you even try that?
That's why they're not gonna win. Listen though.
Let me say why. I'm gonna go right.
Okay, okay. This is my thing. A lot of teams mess up in the tournament trying to like emulate the team that they're playing. You can't play to every team's strength or weakness. You have to play your game.
And
like,
then you don't even know this.
We're saying practice.
But that's what I'm saying. If I'm Yale, I'm obviously watching film to see what they do. Mm-hmm. But like if I'm gonna adjust anything, I'm gonna adjust like what I do on the defensive side of the ball, because again, like, you cannot change your game from an offensive standpoint.
But it does, and it's not gonna matter.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me versus Virginia versus UNBC.
Yeah.
Remember how everybody
what year was that?
It's not that, because Virginia just sits in this, they had sat in that same 2-3 zone for 20 years.
But guess what?
Everyone knew what to do to beat it.
But like, nobody beat it though. Yeah, you had exactly. dominant teams that could not beat that 2-3 zone. And they lost only one game that year.
Okay.
And then they didn't lose again until the first round of the playoffs. But we said it though. Defense travels, right or wrong. Defense travels. But what happens when your defense don't travel? You can't.
You don't got to worry about Auburn.
No, wait.
I'm guarding you. I'm standing in front of you.
That's the same thing we said about Virginia that year too. Oh, Virginia defense going to lock it. Bro. If teams are jacking up shots and them things are going in, it don't matter how good a defense you play.
Right? Let me tell you this game going to work. It's going to be some point in the game where Auburn is up by 2. Next you know, stop. They're going to get constant stops. They're going to keep scoring. And all you're going to see is them getting rowdy, all crazy, jumping passes, crashing the glass, lob left and right, dunking the ball, screaming. And then after that,
I'm not even worried about the 2-point game. I think that really Auburn just gonna come out straight from the jump. Every possession, get it to Broome, get in the paint.
You gotta understand, bro. Auburn don't wait. Bro, they come and hit you in the mouth. They don't wait.
I know
Bruce Pearl is gonna have them boys ready.
They're gonna shoot 75% from the floor. They're just gonna get straight layups.
Layups, straight back.
Half the points gonna be from fast break.
Who is going to stop them,
bro?
They don't have anybody capable of stopping them.
Listen. I hear what you're saying. I do. I 100% hear what you're saying. But again, it's March.
Okay.
The madness begins.
Next game, number 6, BYU versus number 11, Duquesne. Who we got?
BYU.
I'm just gonna go BYU because I don't know something about this Duquesne team.
I don't know nothing about either.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about either one.
But I know BYU can shoot it because I did watch a little bit of Big 12.
And I heard the way they was talking about Duquesne, they said Duquesne is a very good team offensively. They just don't really make too many stops defensively.
You're going to need stops, buddy.
But you're going to need them.
I mean, they definitely have like better scorers than BYU. Their top players average like 16, 17 points per game compared to like BYU's like 12, 13 points per game. So like the scoring is going to be there, but yeah. I just see BYU kind of coming on top with this one.
Number 3, Illinois versus number 14, Morehead State.
Illinois. I don't think there's much to talk about with this matchup. Yeah. I mean, like, they're the three seed.
Watch this be the matchup that Illinois lose to.
They're not going to lose.
I don't be surprised. One thing about March Madness, nothing surprises me. Like, nothing at all.
That's also true.
But I got Illinois, though, as a favorite.
Nothing should surprise you, mm-mm. But you should always just expect.
Yeah. You always expect the higher seed to win. You always do.
Number 7, Washington State versus number 10, Drake.
I picked Drake in my back. Right.
Yeah,
this is one of those games.
All right,
one
now.
Of those games. Come on, don't be a homer. Yeah, don't be a homer.
I'm not.
No, Drake can go.
No, Drake, I've seen clips of Drake. They have one, I think it's one or two good guys that can really shoot the ball really well and really get in his back. But I seen Washington State. Isaac Jones is a force. I wasn't going to say Miles Rice. Isaac Jones.
Just go ahead and say Miles, bro. It's okay.
Jalen Wills can shoot the ball too, but if Isaac Jones and Jalen Wills not on their game, it could get really lopsided really quickly.
Drake shoot almost 40% from three as a team. That's scary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's scary.
It's a lot of competitive matches. Like the 7-10. The 4-13 are always good matchups.
Yeah.
So that's why I like, again, don't be surprised, but I got Drake though.
I have Washington State.
We know.
That's just me.
We know.
All right, y'all want to talk about South and talk about Duke? Y'all ready?
Oh, you forgot Iowa State.
No, you forgot Iowa State. But again, not really.
Yeah, Iowa State. Yeah,
it's not really much to talk about.
Let's go to the South bracket. Number 1, Houston. Yeah, we're going South. Y'all want to talk about Duke so bad, so here we go.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm letting you have your moment. Number 1, Houston versus number 15, Longwood.
Houston.
You know where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imagine if Longwood beat Houston, though.
Number 8, Nebraska versus number 9 Texas.
This is going to be a really good game.
That, you know,
this is one of those games.
I have Texas A&M.
I have Nebraska.
Texas A&M kind of reminds me of Auburn, but just a little bit more better. Like
Without the offense. Yeah. Without the offense.
I don't know. Wade Taylor can spark it.
No.
He was sparking it.
You can't score, how are you supposed to win games?
Hey, you going to
say football. Defense don't win you championships in basketball.
You're not the Virginia of this year, buddy. You got to put that ball in that hoop.
Wade Taylor can spark it. I'm going to take A&M.
I got A&M as well.
Okay.
This one, I think, is going to be an upset. Number 5, Wisconsin versus number 12, James Madison.
I got James Madison.
My boy TJ Brigsack gonna put on. So I'm
I saw Wisconsin in the tournament, like their conference tournament.
They're not bad.
I liked what I saw.
That's a good team.
From Wisconsin?
Yeah.
But you gotta realize when they was number 5, they went on a landslide. Like it was just terrible.
But dang, I'm looking at James Madison. I'm like, okay. You guys only lost 3 games on the year?
Yeah.
That's OC. I'm gonna have to agree with y'all on this one.
All right, here we go, y'all. Number 4, Duke. 13, Vermont. What you gotta say?
I got Vermont winning.
All right, you're not being serious right now.
No, okay.
Nah.
Clear, okay. Hear me out.
But I got Duke. I'm about to say, let's be serious, fellas.
Hear me out. Look, Duke, I have Duke winning this game. There's no reason why Duke should lose this game. But again, this is that type of game.
Do they have
CJ McCollum?
No.
All right, so it's not going
to
happen. We didn't even know who CJ McCollum was.
So that's not going to happen.
Hey, do they have CJ McCollum? Maybe.
Hey,
no,
we don't know.
We could have
the next NBA superstar on this team, bro.
He could have
his coming to the NBA, coming to the light
from
moment
Vermont.
Against Duke.
From
he's salivating looking at Duke.
Hey, wait.
Went to Weber State.
Do you know where
John Moran went to Murray State?
Where's Vermont at?
Vermont.
It's in Vermont.
Where is it, Vermont?
It's up north.
I'm surprised he knew that.
Like, it's I know it's all the way up top. I don't know which one it is, but I know it's somewhere up
it's
there.
One of them states up there. Near Maine.
Hey, Jeff.
Like, be serious. I'm being serious.
Be for real.
We're not losing Vermont.
Be for real.
If we lose to Vermont, hey, respectfully, I'm going to have to, like.
Do you remember 2013?
If y'all
number
lose,
4 Duke versus number 13 Mercer?
Dang. If y'all lose to Vermont, you have to put at Vermont men's basketball in your bio.
I bet. That's a bet. That's a bet.
Hey.
For a year.
I'm not doing that. No, wait.
You got to do it the entire duration of the tournament.
Okay, how about this? If they beat up, I'll post on Instagram, I'm a Vermont fan.
Nah. We want that in your bio.
But for a year is OC. I'm not
to the national
that.
Championship.
No. I'll say this. Duration of the tournament. I'll say this.
Okay.
If Vermont beat y'all, you have to post Vermont every single year. No, not every year. For the rest of the year. He's on a basketball team. Do something. You gotta post it.
I'm not doing that, bro. I'll stick with I'm a Vermont fan in my bio if they beat us.
Hey, bro. I don't know if you want that on your head, bro. You already got to put at Orlando Magic in your bio, bro.
Yeah, I don't want that either. Next game. Number 6, Texas Tech versus number 11, North Carolina State.
I just spoke highly of NC State.
I'm going NC State.
I feel like you have to take.
I'm going.
DJ, bro, sweet feet. The size look deceiving, but hey.
I'm going to take him too.
Hey, that's just a natural Abby. I'm taking NC State. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm on a high horse right now. I got NC State winning the national championship.
Stop it, bro.
Yeah, anyways, next game.
Hey,
that's not happening.
Cut it. All right.
Number 3, Kentucky versus number 14, Oakland.
Oakland.
Stop.
No.
Like, y'all was joking about the Vermont thing, but let's be serious.
I honestly was trolling with the Vermont, but the Oakland versus Kentucky, I'm saying, bro.
For what reason, besides the fact that Kentucky's defense is bad, what does Oakland do that's going to
like,
help
wow you in, like,
Oakland is a good shooting team. They shoot the ball. And what's Kentucky's biggest weakness? They can't stop the three. They can't defend the perimeter.
Okay,
and guess what else Oakland do? Oakland rebounds. Kentucky is not good with a rebound. And Kentucky has a bad rotation. And Oakland has a solid 7-man rotation that will make Kentucky.
Time out. I have to ask this question. This not even pertaining to March Madness real quick. Y'all think DJ really perform and live up to expectations?
But DJ Wagner?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
He was by far a bust this year.
All right.
I know it was kind of like a crowded room too though.
Yeah, it was crowded. I will say that, but it was crowded. But like he's supposed to, he got the light stolen from him.
Who stole the light from him?
Reed.
But Rod don't start though.
But he still
stole the light. Like you can't. What I'm saying is like he headlined that whole draft. He headlined that whole recruiting class, and like you're like back in the back.
But we got to remember, DJ Wagner was considered a generational talent.
That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. how you headline and then like you're in the back of the bus.
That's my whole thing. And we kept saying for some reason he couldn't shoot this year. He had no bag.
He was injury prone from time to time. But that's the only grace I could give him is that when you played, you didn't really perform. That's all I'm saying.
Who what's the name? The center.
Bradshaw.
Yeah.
He was injured too, but
they came back. The whole thing at the beginning of the season was, Kentucky's gonna be scary when their bigs come back. Their bigs came back.
And they was worse.
And they're not.
But this my thing though, like going back to like them playing Oakland in the first round, I think they're just gonna handle business.
They're gonna get past this.
Has played Ohio State, Illinois, Drake, Marshall, Xavier, Toledo, Michigan State, and Drayton. Out of all those games I listed, they've only won two of those games by 5 points. Like I think when it comes to power five schools, they're not ready.
So what would we say about Gonzaga then?
I never sold on Gonzaga. I'm sorry. They're not good to me.
I think they can hoop.
All right.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Number 7, Florida, and the winner of Boise State and Colorado. Who we got?
Okay. So this game right here, this is another team I felt as though got robbed. They shouldn't be in a play-in.
Who?
Boise State. They disrespected the MAC conference. I don't know. Well, I just don't understand. Boise State should at least be a 7th seed. So I actually have Boise State beating Colorado and beating Florida.
I just finished talking about KJ, but okay. You got Boise State winning?
Hey.
I got Florida winning.
I see Florida, whoever they play, I feel like they'll be able to get out of it.
Completely agree. I think they had a really strong showing at the SEC tournament. They did lose their center, but at the same time, I saw a lot out of like Walter Clayton. Yeah, he was big from like what I saw, making a lot of tough shots. That's going to help in March.
Where I think Auburn should be at, but no, continue.
Last game on the South, we have Marquette number 2 versus 15 Western Kentucky.
So you think Auburn should be on the 2 line right here?
Yeah, I think they should be. This the bracket that Auburn should be in. I think they should be the 2 seed in this division.
I think I agree. I think that they just didn't want to put, what would that be, 5 SEC teams in one region?
But what they could have did was they could have moved Kentucky and put Kentucky
on the 4 line
as a 5th seed. What's the call? For the East. Yeah. And then they could have put Auburn at the 2 and move Marquette to 3. I felt as though like that would have made more sense than putting Marquette at 2 and over Auburn, which I believe Auburn's a better team than Marquette.
Right.
I agree.
But I just feel as though they don't want UConn to win, because they see that their team is destined to win, especially if they give them an easy road again. So they don't want that. They don't want UConn to win back to back.
Now we're gonna hop into the West side of the bracket. North Carolina versus the winner of Howard and Wagner.
Howard.
Excuse me?
Well, they're better. Nah, I got North Carolina.
I got North Carolina. Howard is a good team, though.
They are. They're okay.
We're talking about against UNC, guys. We're not talking about them. Yeah, we're talking about against UNC. They're going to washed.
Like how much?
40, 30.
Yeah, 30.
40, 30.
I think 30. I think they got too much pride to get 40 pieced.
Sometimes, bro, pride can only do so much on the basketball court.
So far.
Sometimes they just better.
Now, this game right here is going to be good. Number 8, Mississippi State versus number 9, Michigan State. This is going to be great.
It's going to be great, but I still got Mississippi State, though.
I have Mississippi as well.
I do, too, but Michigan State is clicking right now, so I would not be surprised if they won.
I'm going to pick Michigan State, because to his point, I feel like they're catching fire at the right time.
They are.
So. Didn't they give Purdue a run for their money?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
But I feel
like everybody gives Purdue a run for their money.
I mean, it's Purdue.
Like, they be playing some close games.
They're weak.
What if that's the year that Purdue actually wins it all?
Nah.
I walk around with a big P on my shirt.
A Boilermaker hat.
Saying I'm a Purdue fan. That happens. And it won't happen. It will not happen. Now, I think this game coming up after this one is going to be upset as well.
Definitely upset.
Number 5, St. Mary versus number 12, Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Y'all got Grand Canyon?
Bro, yeah. I saw their conference championship game.
Someone got hurt.
My God.
In the conference championship?
They're banged up right now.
I watched the game.
Grand Canyon got hurt?
They're banged up.
Who got hurt?
I saw somewhere that they're not 100%. Like, there's a lot of people that were dealing with injuries, nagging injuries.
And they still beat Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's not good.
Bro, Gonzaga's good. They might not be like tier one
standard,
good.
The standard Gonzaga. But
cool, they might not be that, but they're still. And they still beat them and beat them like by, I think they won by double digits, if I'm not mistaken. But
I like Grand Canyon.
Nah, I got St. Mary's.
I don't know, bro. Because I saw Grand Canyon's conference championship game, and my gosh, these boys can hoop.
They can hoop. I watched the game.
And that's literally the only game I've seen from them. I was like,
facts.
And then it's like, we can't act like this team was like a scrub team either, because they've been in the tournament three times in the last 4 years. Yeah. So like,
and then their school was just founded 10 years ago.
Yeah. Relatively new.
So
how did they get to Division One so fast? Did they just?
Bro, it's just
if you got the, if you got the money, you can.
You got the money and the students, and then students, of course like the students and talent, like
because they was an online school for about five years.
I see commercials about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too. Grand Canyon University.
Yeah. We have over 39 majors, and we just have two master programs. Like, okay.
Next game, number 4, Alabama versus 13 Charleston.
Bam.
It's a trap game for Bama, but I still have Bama winning.
I got Bama winning.
This game is probably going to be upset. It's an upset in my bracket. Clemson, number 6 versus 11, New Mexico.
Clemson shouldn't even be in the tournament.
That's true, too.
Yeah, come, bro.
But I got New Mexico.
I thought I was tripping because
and they're
to
way
me,
too high.
Watching Clemson this season, they weren't that good. Like, I watch a lot of ACC basketball, and it's like they're okay. Like, they struggle against kind of like bottom-tier ACC teams.
Clemson started the season ranked 16th.
They did.
Yeah. They beat Bama too early in the year.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, they just had a straight clip dive. My thing is, if you had put Clemson at probably like 9, 10, maybe 11, I wouldn't be mad at it.
A six seed,
but a 6 seed is crazy because I don't even see them as a tournament team over St. John's. But you know what? Let's not talk about that. But
Donovan Dent and Jalen House, they're Duffies.
I still got Clemson.
I got
winning,
New Mexico. I'm sorry. But that backcourt might be a little bit too much.
Hey, Joe Girard, you're 10 in college basketball. He's not going out too easy. He's been around the NCAA tournament a couple times. I like Clemson.
Next game, number 3, Baylor versus number 14, Colgate.
I feel like Colgate's a team that's always in the tournament.
They are.
I don't know like, anything about
Colgate.
They're
like Colgate. One of those sleeper teams. Like they
sleeper?
They always in the tournament. They always lose by 30.
Sleeper? Hey, nobody's sleeping on them.
No, like I say, like when I say like sleeper, like they somehow always sneak in, make it past the round of 64. You know what I'm saying?
But I got Baylor though.
Respectfully, just because I don't know anything about Colgate, even though like you said, they just always in the tournament, but I don't know anything about them. But I don't even know their colors. When I see Colgate, I was thinking about the toothpaste.
Bro, that's OZ.
No, but that's one that I just don't understand about college basketball, because they be teams that you've never
Some
even heard
team.
Of, and then you just see them out of nowhere. Next thing you know,
their colors like maroon.
Yeah, close enough to the toothpaste.
It's in New York. Their school is in Hamilton, New York.
Oh wow! But now that's why I'm just gonna have to go with Baylor, just off the state, because I don't know anything about Colgate.
Hey, that's how we said about FDU.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, we said that about FDU. We said that about St. Peter's.
Nah, St. Peter's run was 06.
Yeah.
That run was 06.
No. What school was that? Loyola?
Yeah. Chicago.
I didn't even know that was a real school either.
Bro, their run was crazy.
Like when UMBC, when they beat Virginia, I thought that was a community college.
I thought Prince was gonna go deep too, and they beat Arizona.
You said Princeton?
They were the 15 seed.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't that the year that it was like 3-2 seeds lost to 15 seed?
Nah, Princeton went to the Sweet 16 that year, ain't it?
No, I'm saying
I thought it went deeper. I'm saying like if you beat Arizona, you gotta go at least like Elite 8.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Last two games, let's close it out. It's number 7, Dayton versus number 10, Nevada.
Nevada. And I got Arizona.
And then Arizona, number 2 versus 15, Long Beach State. They did beat USC and stuff. You got to think about that, too.
Who, Arizona?
Long Beach State.
Yeah, that's but what I'm USC, saying. I got the upset for this
you seen,
one.
You said UNC or USC?
USC.
USC was not a respectable program this year.
You seen Long Beach State is playing with a fired coach? Like,
yeah.
He's fired, but they're just letting him coach the postseason. They messed around and won their conference tournament.
Dang, it's like... They're
going to lose first round.
He's like, what
but
can you
but
do?
This is my thing, right? Let's say Long Beach State beats Arizona, and the coach takes you all the way to the... Let's say he goes all the way to
let's
the
say,
final
No,
four.
No. It's going to end round... Sweet. No, never mind. Not round 13. Sweet 16.
All right, let's say Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Do you rescind that fire?
No, if I'm him, I'm going.
It depends on what the reasoning for like being fired is.
It was because he was having a down. He was having a bad season.
I mean, I wouldn't go back because I'm one of the hottest coaches in the world. Right. Rather like going back.
I'm saying as a school. Would you rescind that fire?
If I'm the school, I'm rescinding the offer. I mean, I'm rescinding the termination. Come back.
Yeah.
But if I'm him,
I'm getting out of there.
Yeah.
But we'll see, bro.
Now let's look at the Midwest. Emphasis on mid.
Midwest. This is the easiest this is by far part of the bracket.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
No, it's only two teams, though. Two teams. No, three teams.
No, it's like four.
Okay, I say four.
Yeah.
It's Oregon, South Carolina, Purdue, and Tennessee. That
we had different fours. had different fours. I said Purdue, Oregon.
I didn't say Kansas.
I'm sorry.
And then South Carolina.
I was so hype on Kansas, but after that loss, I said, never mind. Let's talk about it, though. Number one, Purdue versus Grambling or Middle Tennessee
State. Man, give me Grambling. I'm tired of Purdue. Like, can y'all just lose it just so we can stop talking about y'all?
All right.
No, Grambling for the
y'all, you know.
Even Jeff can't even get with that.
I'm a Purdue.
You know what Purdue is? They the Dallas Cowboys of college basketball.
That's a bit far.
Or you can say the 76ers.
Yeah, because I see them getting past the round of 32.
But you don't see them getting past the round of 32.
Yeah.
No, they're going to get past round 32.
Next game, number 8, Utah State versus number 9, TCU. We got
TCU.
I got TCU.
I got TCU. Sleeper. It's a sleepy game. No one's watching that.
Okay.
Ouch.
Number 5, Gonzaga versus number 12, McNeese.
Give me McNeese.
Will
Wade turned that program around.
They won 31 games this year.
He said we're going to have more wins than losses from last season this season. He did that.
Because one thing about that. Will Wade turned the LSU program around like that. And he did the same thing with the McNeese program. Like, I'm sold on Coach Wade, but I'm sorry, bro. I just don't believe in Gonzaga. I'm choosing to lose every single time.
Well, also, he got
McNeese.
But what's he talking about? Gonzaga.
I think Gonzaga is good. I think McNeese might be better.
He did say Gonzaga was good though. But
just had to check. I thought my hearing was messed up. Number 4, Kansas versus 13, Samford.
This one of them trap games too.
Kansas, but
I think if Hunter Dickinson plays Kansas.
Yeah, if Hunter Dickinson plays Kansas.
Yeah,
but Samford, it's another team. I think they shoot 40% from three, so things could get dicey there if they having a good game and they shooting up around 50-60% from three. Kansas might fall.
50 and 60% from three is kind of outrageous.
If they shoot 40 a good day.
My gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
How many attempts?
I'm sorry.
That's a three-point shooting team.
But if you're shooting 50% and 60% from three, you're not losing.
That's what I'm saying.
You're probably going to win by 14, 15.
That's some great shooting splits.
Shooting 40 from the three-point line was amazing, but 50?
South Carolina number 6 versus number 11, Oregon. I have Oregon.
Give me South Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm taking South Carolina.
I'm not sold on Oregon. I'm not sold on Oregon. I'm going to have to take the higher seed with this one, brother.
All right. Don't be sold. But when it happens, don't say I ain't call it.
I'll tell y'all, this right here, this next matchup, I'm taking Akron.
3 Creighton versus 14 Akron.
Yeah.
Akron. They're too physical.
I think they rolling off the momentum of what happened last in the conference.
They can be physical, but I think Creighton still finds a way to.
Creighton should not be a 3 seed though.
I think they should be a 2 seed.
I think the seeding is just all messed up in this bracket.
Or did they have a bad end of the season?
They had a mid point of the season. And they just started picking up like towards the end.
Oh, I thought they'd been hooping though. I got Creighton though.
Yeah, I have Creighton too. Number 7, Texas versus number 10, the winner of Virginia and Colorado State. I have Texas.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Texas, but I'm not.
But if they do run to Virginia, I think it's gonna be tough a little bit for them. If they do run to Virginia.
I just feel like that Virginia has a chance of beating people just because of how much they slow down the game. And they keep it low scoring, so they're gonna be able to stay in it. But yeah, I still think Texas wins.
And then to close out the round of 64, number 2 Tennessee versus the team we just talked about, number 15 St. Pete.
Upset alert.
They're back.
Upset.
They're back.
They're back, bro. Again.
Upset alert.
I think that showing that Dalta Connect did in the SEC tournament will not happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I have Tennessee.
I got Tennessee as well.
Yeah, I got Tennessee too, and I think they make it to at least the Sweet 16, if not the Elite 8.
Because I know Tennessee's looking at this game, and they're looking like, okay, this might be an upset game for us, so they're going to come out swinging.
Tennessee might have the easiest walk to the Elite 8 of any team. Because hypothetically, cool, you beat St. Peter's, that's a 15 seed, that should be
It's going to be a rematch between them and South Carolina and the Sweet 16.
Right, and because like I said, like Texas isn't that great. South Carolina or Oregon's probably going to beat Creighton or whatever, and then you got Like, that's just not, like, as opposed to in the east side of the bracket where you'd have to go through one of the conference champions or another team who was just in the Final Four the previous year. Yeah,
Is it possible the team that comes out the east might actually be the national championship?
Yes,
it's going to be UConn.
So that's your winner, UConn?
Yes.
I got NC State.
I feel like my favorite is UConn because they were the champs last year, but I don't know.
Awesome.
I have to see the first round.
North Carolina for personal reasons.
I have to see the first round.
Also remember,
but I could also see North Carolina.
The last school to win back-to-back national championship was the 2006-2007 Florida Gators. That was the last time anybody's ever won back-to-back in college basketball.
But the thing about this UConn team is that's different from those Florida Gator teams. This is a completely different team, pretty much.
Yeah.
And also, there hasn't been a team to win a national championship and make it back to the national championship game. No, I'm lying. Gonzaga did.
Yeah. Speaking of South Carolina highlights, Alabama won as far as the women's college basketball March Madness, the number one overall seed in an Albany 1 region. And there's a couple teams in Albany 1 region that could give them a fight, but who do you have coming out of Albany 1? There's North Carolina 8, you have Oklahoma at 5, South Carolina, of course, number 1, Nebraska at 6, Oregon State has been them ladies hoop at 3, and you have Notre Dame always at 2. But who do you have representing Albany 1?
South Carolina.
When it comes down to it and it's all said and done, I think the final two teams might be South Carolina, Oregon State, maybe Notre Dame, but South Carolina.
I think South Carolina's really competing with themselves.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't play their brand of basketball, it could get ugly. But if they do play the brand of basketball, control the game, control the pace, they have a chance to represent Albany.
Like, bro, they're 32-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back-to-back seasons.
And they done beat some great teams, too. Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Yeah, I got South Carolina.
Because them being LSU twice is crazy.
I will say, though, I know Notre Dame has a couple really good guards.
They do.
I know they're great defensively, too. So that could be...
That's one of my sleeper teams.
It could get a little dicey there.
In this region, yeah.
But Malaysia Fuwaili?
She is tough.
She's a bucket. And then Camila Cardoza?
Oh, hey.
That's a load in the paint.
Hey.
I seen firsthand. Shawty got it.
Let's talk about Albany 2, who we have represented out of there. You have number 1, Iowa. You also have number 5, Colorado. Number 4, Kansas State.
Number 3, LSU.
Let me get... All right, fine.
This is hard
for me. Like, this, number 2, UCLA as well. Like, this side of the region bracket is tight.
This is kind of like the gauntlet to the other one in the men's bracket. Like,
yeah.
This right here, because you have Iowa, Colorado, then you have LSU,
UCLA,
and UCLA. All of those teams can hoop. All those teams are great teams. And it's crazy because, again, like, okay, we know Iowa's going to make it out the first round. We know that. But see, it gets a little dicey when you get towards the bottom of the bracket, because then you got LSU with Rice. And of course, I mean, LSU is LSU, but it's like one of those games. LSU has a lot of imperfections that we saw in the SEC tournament.
But wait, before you even go to LSU, you got to go to number 5, Colorado.
Yeah.
Who beat LSU to start the season, and they just had a midway day. They just had a little part with the Big Ten or Big 12, my bad. But that is a great team. So Iowa still has to see Colorado before they even get to LSU.
Yeah.
What they did is they put LSU in a rematch bracket because they beat UCLA last year. They beat Iowa last year.
This is a region full of narratives.
Yeah, facts. Full of narratives.
It is.
So they got to go through UCLA again, and they have to go through Iowa again just to get to the Final Four.
Is it crazy if I don't see Iowa representing Albany too?
No,
it's not crazy because you have UCLA in this bracket too. You have LSU in this bracket and Colorado.
I have UCLA representing it. I'm not a believer in LSU.
I have UCLA or LSU. Okay, no. I have UCLA or Iowa. Right. I just think Caitlin Clark is too much of a bucket
but
to not
I just
come
like,
out of this
but
bracket.
I feel like
she got help.
That's my thing. Like, my
like
thing
she,
is,
she does
if a team like
help.
LSU.
Wait. How she don't have help? They only lost 4 games on the year. She's not. She's the main attraction
hooping.
On the. She's the main attraction, but she doesn't get it done by herself.
You got to understand. If she's giving you
who rebounds the ball?
If you that's not what he's saying about help. He's talking about as far as scoring help. If she gives you 28 to 35 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need the rest of the team to at least give you 40.
But this is my thing. I think they can do that though, because look, she draws so much attention. it causes spacing on the floor. But that's why you see like sometimes she'll drop like a 34 piece or like a 35 piece, and then like the next best player will probably have like 15 to 20. You know what I'm saying? But that's just because
they're straight up her assists.
Yeah. But she can create plays, and that I think that's the identity of this team this particular year. You feed off your best player, and your best player has always been able to night in and night out create plays for other teammates.
And again, LSU is not a 3 seed. LSU at worst is a 2 seed.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, you know, they're 5 losses, 2 of them at the hands of South Carolina, who's been far and away the best team in the country.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing right here, this whole entire bracket is an LSU revenge bracket. Because after LSU faces Rice, they go against to play either Louisville or Mid-Tennessee State. If you understand the Louisville game, that's where Haley Van Lith came from. Right. Let's say LSU beat Louisville. The next game is the game that LSU should have lost last year to even make it to the Final Four against UCLA. All right, then you get to the Elite Eight where it is Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark again. Now that's the marquee show, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the way they have everything set up again for LSU, and that's why I got my girls still winning the national championship.
Yeah, I got LSU winning this bracket. Like, I think.
Wait, the national championship.
I got LSU winning the national championship. Yes.
Okay.
I got them coming out this region. I don't think they're winning the national.
I have UCLA coming out.
They might come out the region. I don't think they're gonna win the championship.
Hey, listen, that's what they say last year. We was at a 3 seed again last year. Oh, and they not gonna win it out. Oh, they're not that team. But again, we'll see.
Now let's move over to Portland 3. To highlight, number one is USC in that region. There's number 5 Baylor. There is number 4 Virginia Tech. Number 7 Duke. Gotta shout out Duke, regardless. And then Ohio State, number 2. Who do you have representing Portland 3?
UConn.
UConn.
Oh, UConn. Plus, yeah. Ooh, I missed that one.
USC or UConn?
You missed UConn.
USC or UConn?
Because USC don't have nothing else but Juju Walker.
Yeah. But and you say the same thing about Iowa.
Yeah, no, but USC literally doesn't have nothing but Juju. Like the game against Stanford, she had to score 55.
But Stanford's the truth. You have no choice.
But that's what I'm saying though. Like Juju cannot be the only option.
If she don't score
If she don't score, they don't win.
Yeah, if she has a cold night, it's kinda over.
It's over.
If she has a cold game, was it Elite Eight?
Against
Sweet
Baylor?
Six, yeah, Elite
or
Eight
Vanderbilt.
Is gonna get nasty.
But still.
Wait, we said who?
Hey, they in there.
Oh my gosh. He always finds a way.
I like this guy, bro. He loves his school. But he'll vote for Vandy when it comes to football, though.
Exactly.
Man,
you be ducking my Vandy, but everything roll tide. But
I would never utter those two words out of my mouth. But yeah, you do be saying that.
I do, because I just like Vanderbilt basketball, to be real. It's a or like Vanderbilt football, like, yeah. Woohoo.
But to be honest, let me ask y'all this. You think Jackson State will give UConn like
that? Yes. I was just going to say that.
Wait, Jackson State is on a 21-game winning streak. Let's not forget.
Bro, they're hot.
They're hot.
I will say it would be very interesting if they gave them some
swag. Man, I'm going for Jackson State. Swag, baby. Hey, I got swag with me.
I think they could keep it close for
Hey, listen. I'm voting for Jackson State in this game by itself, but I do have UConn coming out. But hear me out. I know that sounds dumb.
I'm listening.
But
I'm not saying it's dumb.
If UConn does beat Jackson State, that's why I'm riding with UConn. But I'm just saying I'm voting for Jackson State in this game.
I am too. I'm with you on that.
I think it might be close for a half. I don't think they got it for.
If they do beat UConn, they're not gonna make it past the round of 32.
Crazy. If they beat UConn, they might go all the way to.
I have not Michigan State, Ohio State represent Portland 3.
Interesting.
But so we all in agreement that USC is everybody's favorite if Juju was on.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. They don't lose if she has a bad game, in my opinion. I mean, she has a good game.
Can you imagine if Juju actually did commit to South Carolina instead of USC?
They'd be unstoppable.
That's women's team USA.
Yeah. I'm going to say. They will win the WNBA championship.
It was only because Malaysia committed before she did. That's the only reason why she didn't go to the other USC. Oh, I don't know. Which one would we say? Is USC the other USC when it comes to women's basketball?
USC is Southern Cal, I feel like, in sports.
Yeah, like when you say USC, you think of Southern Cal. You don't think of South Carolina.
South Carolina.
But that's my thing.
I do see what you're saying. Because, like, really, like, more so, it's really like, yeah. But nah, because even then in like football, you say South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about USC, you know you're talking about the Trojans out west. Okay, yeah.
Now move on to Portland 4. So just to highlight a couple teams, you have number 1, Texas. You have number 9, Florida State.
Go Noles.
You have number 4, Gonzaga. Number 6, Tennessee. And then you also have number 2, Stanford, which I think is the truth.
I think they're actually the team I had. One, I felt as though they should have been a 1 seed over Texas.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that they should have been a 1 seed. Stanford's a center.
Yes.
She lead the league in what's it called? Double doubles. And she's
if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark being eligible to go on the draft, she'd be the first pick.
I still think it's between Caitlin Clark and Asia Reese.
No, I'm saying Caitlin Clark was
number
eligible.
One pick?
Yeah. No, wait, number one pick. Excuse me.
No, it's not even close.
LSU bias.
It's not.
You talking about I'm a Duke homer?
Let it slide.
That's LSU homer at its finest.
No, Caitlin Clark is the consensus number one pick.
Bro, she might go 1-2 and
like
3.
No, you was OC. That's OC.
I know what I said.
She might.
I'm rocking with my girl.
You tripping. Your girl listening to this, and she thinking you OC for saying that.
Angel, we got you. Bayou Barbie, you number one in our eyes. But anyway, Stanford should be the number one. See, I do have Stanford coming out of this region.
I have Stanford coming out as well. What about y'all?
I think I get with y'all with that. I like Stanford. I've seen Tennessee play once. They look pretty good against South Carolina, but their record is atrocious. But so I'm going to say Stanford.
And also that Green Bay team, their women's basketball program is very good.
Yeah, no, their record is great. It's like 26-7, I think.
They actually are in the conference, are in the NCAA tournament every single year. It's been a period of time where they've been ranked in the top 25. So that's not an easy team to beat.
I got Stanford easily. If I could see another team that would probably give them a run for their money out of this region, it's either Gonzaga or Texas. Hey. But Stanford is consensually the best team in this side of the bracket.
Florida State fans.
And I'm a Florida State fan.
Florida State fans, the committee finally gave you Alabama.
this is crazy. I think we can beat Bama. Honestly, I think
I watched the Florida State game. They can go.
Like they can go.
I've been to the girls game.
I'm just glad we got some representation in here. The men's team let me down.
The committee gave them Bama.
Yeah, the wrong committee showed us some love, but we, you know what I'm saying. We glad to be here.
We seen when the committee gave y'all SEC school in a championship, 55-6.
Half of our players weren't playing. Let's not act like that.
63 or something.
They did that against the freshman quarterback. Congrats.
I mean, that's y'all quarterback of the future.
No, he is not.
Okay. Hey, DJ Ukulele.
Yeah.
DJ Ukulele.
Yeah. Hey, no, but on a serious note though, like we're coming next year, bro.
Okay.
That 12 team playoff bracket. Yeah, we're coming.
I mean, yeah, of course.
We can have a whole another episode.
We can
have
another episode about that. But this concludes the episode of Hats Up with the Playmakers. But before we leave out, we get into my favorite part, the shout-outs. I want to first thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for everything he's done for me and for my family. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Great to see y'all after spring break, man. I'm glad you guys had a great spring break. And let's just keep pushing more episodes, being consistent, and just bringing that energy like we always do.
Yeah, man. First and foremost, shout out to God. Shout out to the guys in the studio. It's real great to be back in the studio with the guys. It's been a long break, but, you know, we're back. We're going to be more consistent with it. We're going to drop more episodes out. And, you know what I'm saying, these last 6 weeks, I'm going to enjoy it. So, yeah.
Soak it all in.
Appreciate y'all, boys. Love y'all, boys. Looking forward to more shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to the fam. Shout out to the guys in the studio. And shout out to you. Yes, you for listening to this episode. It's been great. We appreciate you for tuning in. Make sure you check out the live show Saturday 12:32 90.5. Yeah, tighten up.
First and foremost, I just want to thank God, and then I just want to thank the LSU women's basketball team for giving LSU some more hope to win another national championship, because you know everybody doing their own little thing. But at the end of the day, I just want to thank everybody in the studio for having this great opportunity that we're doing right now, and then just everybody coming back from spring break healthy, alive, and just all in well, and just getting ready to shout out Amar when he graduates.
Sure.
Yes, sir. May 4th, 2 o'clock. Al Lawson. Don't miss it.
Halftime with the Playmakers is a product of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.